Welcome back. This is the Confident Collective podcast, and we are your hosts. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Christina. We are curb models, content creators, and some would even say comedians.
We started the Confident Collective podcast to help you live your most confident life by sharing our stories and sitting down with experts to talk about, well, life.
We chat sex, dating, business, relationships, and so much more. We hope you love this episode, so let's get into it.
Christina, there has been a question that I literally wrote this down in my notes to ask you. It's like been causing me like distress.
I'm so nervous.
Are you swimming laps in a pool without a cap and without goggles?
Yes.
Dude, that's fucking wild.
Wait, I don't know. Okay. What do you think is crazier, the cap or the lack of cap or goggles?
The goggles. And honestly, both. Like, weren't you on swim team?
Yeah, you know what? And I do have a cap somewhere. I just haven't been able to find it. And I'm always in a rush. I just don't have it in my bag. First of all, I think you and I have very different eyes. Like, you have way more sensitive eyes than I do.
No.
Today's an exception because I got beat up by my son last night.
Your eyes is literally watering right now, but that, okay, that's beside the point. No, I'm sorry. I need people to like weigh in on this. Like, please tell us, like, this is wild to me. Like, you're just raw dogging the chlorine with your eyes open.
It doesn't burn at all. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Christina, please get some goggles.
I ordered them, okay?
And a cap, and then your hair will be.
I ordered that too. The last time I went in the pool though, I did wash my hair before and put like a deep conditioning mask. So that was fine. What was really the problem that's more of a concern than the goggles or the swim cap is I wore this swimsuit that, by the way, I'm obsessed with. Like, the compression is just so good. And it has, like, this shelf that, like, honestly lifts my chest up to my chin. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound like something you should be swimming laps in.
No.
You want them strapped down, not up.
I don't know why I didn't think about this. I think I just had the swimsuit on because I was, like, just doing a self-tan. I don't know why. And I just wore it to the pool. I'm not even kidding you. I was swimming in this public pool. My boobs are just fully out, nipples, everything. But I'm like, no one can see, right? Like, I'm not doing backstroke. I was the only one in the pool. But after every single lane, I was like,
it added some extra drag
for
you.
Oh my gosh. It really affected my time.
It's so funny because, like, when I go into those situations, like, if I'm doing something like running or swimming or like pushing myself physically, every single thing must be in order. No. Like, I'm not joking. Like,
no,
everything
I believe
must
you.
Be in order. Like, I need a Speedo swimsuit. Like, the tits are in, a cap, like, not a hair out of place, my goggles on. Like, because if one thing is off, I'm like, fuck this. I'm like, no, I can't.
What do you think that says about me or us? We're just so different.
We're so different.
Honestly, like, it's not like I was competitively, like, swimming. I did, like, 25 laps, 30 laps.
I don't know, but, like, I was literally, like, Christina keeps posting selfies of herself at the pool, and, like, she has no cap on, like, no goggles. Like, this is so fucking weird. Like, I was like, no, there's no way. There's no way she's swimming without goggles.
I fucking raw dogged it, yeah. No, but honestly, sometimes, like, if I waited to have all those things, I wouldn't have done any laps yet.
Okay, well, Amazon literally would be here in 2 days.
I know. Well, okay, I ordered them now.
Okay, perfect. Well, also, we launched our Patreon yesterday.
We're so excited.
Like, this is just going to be a next level of community and will allow us to do more events and really, like, show up better for you guys. So we're so excited. And Christina and I each are doing 2 solo episodes mm-hmm. there a month.
Yes.
And we're just going to be, like, sharing much more. So I have kind of been teasing on here that I have a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, well, I have a boyfriend.
I can't believe you have a boyfriend.
It's so weird. And literally, I'm like, you're my twin flame. And I share the full story of how we met, like, how things are going, and even some pictures so you can, like, see how hot he is. He's like, oh, my God, he's so hot. Like, I literally look at him, and I'm like, I need to be sedated immediately. Like, it is... I honestly can't even look at him for too long. It's like the sun. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even look. I hope he never listens to this.
My gosh. I literally can't wait to watch yours. Like, even though I know the whole stories and know what he looks like, I'm so freaking excited.
I know.
I'm so excited for our confidants, which, by the way, if you haven't noticed, is our new community name.
Which you all suggested, like, a few months ago, we posted a poll, was like, what should we call ourselves? And the confidants came up a lot. And Christine were like, how do I not think about this?
Like confidants are so freaking good.
It's so good. It's so cool. And thank God for you all who suggested it, because Christina and I were like, duh.
They're so much smarter than us.
No, you are so much smarter.
Thank you. And I feel like know us better than we know ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I cannot freaking wait. You guys are going to freaking die over Ray's boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
He's
yeah, so, anyway,
so cute.
If you're a nosy bitch and you want to know more, go to the Patreon. I'm sharing probably way too much, so.
And I'm so excited. I am finally sharing all the behind the scenes on, like, my motherhood, messy mom moments, and our New Jersey home journey. So I'm doing our first house tour on the Patreon, and it's going to be so cute. I can't wait for you guys to see the house.
Because you haven't shared the house anywhere,
I haven't shared
really.
The house anywhere. Like, I've showed, like, little photos and clips here, but I've never done a tour of the house.
Okay. It's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good.
So you can find the link to our Patreon in the show notes.
Yeah, and besides the 4 extra episodes a month, obviously, you'll get, like, full video episodes, which I think is so much fun, because mm-hmm. I think, like, watching these is so different.
Yeah.
And they're all ad-free. And then you will get first access to all of our live events, which, knock on wood, sell out really quickly. So I'm excited that it'll feel like confidants at our parties.
Yeah. So honestly, like, I think that's a huge thing, because the last few events have sold out within, like, hours. Mm-hmm. And so you'll get first access to those there. So if you want to come to our events, we're doing one in New York in April mm-hmm. and LA pool party in June are the first two coming up. So you don't want to miss it.
Yeah. And overall, honestly, just thank you so much for your support. Like, we work so hard on the podcast mm-hmm. and we work so hard to launch the Patreon. And we hope that you're excited about it as much as we are. And also, like, with the Patreon too, it's just a way for our community to, like, chat with each other. Like, there's a Discord channel on it. So you guys can, like, leave comments on all of our videos. You can chat about everything. Like, I can't wait to see everyone's reaction on your boyfriend and also on the house. And honestly, ask us anything there. We will be all up in those channels. So
yeah, it's going to be good. For this week's Obsessed.
Yeah.
Have you seen Emrata's divorce rings?
I have not seen them.
Wait, what?
I have not seen them.
Okay, so Emrata basically, when she got engaged, how do you say that? Toi moi rings? Her toi moi?
Oh, when there's the, it's the two
what
diamonds,
is it called?
Right?
I always want to be like toi moi. Toi moi? Toi moi engagement ring.
Yeah.
Toi moi. It's like a two diamond engagement ring. She made it, like, so popular, and everyone wanted one. Mm-hmm. And obviously, she got divorced, and she made it into, like, two stunning, gorgeous diamond rings that she mm-hmm. posted on Instagram looking, like, really hot, you know, like, in bed, like, her cleavage is out, and she's like, oh, she's
always
looks so hot.
Yeah.
But she said, I don't think a woman should be stripped of her diamonds just because she's losing a man. And the dialogue was very interesting around, like, people's thoughts on that.
What were they saying?
A lot of people were saying, like, you're not losing a man. Like, you're gaining your freedom, you're not putting up with, like, something or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, people were really, like, onto that word, losing a man.
Which is interesting that that was her word choice, because
yeah.
I wouldn't imagine that coming from her. I feel like she's...
I know. Yeah. It was kind of interesting. I was like, oh. Like, I did when I first read it. I was like, oh. Like, that word did kind of stick out to me, like, losing a man. Like, you're not losing anything if he wasn't treating you well and, like, wasn't giving you what you needed. Like,
and also was cheating on you and being a fucking asshole.
Right. Right. But I get that at the same time, I'm like, sometimes I feel like we're so quick to, like, jump on this word. And it's like, okay. The sentiment is, like...
Yeah.
She's like, I got divorced. I made two fucking dope-ass diamond rings out of my engagement ring. I'm like, cool.
I think it's interesting because I personally, like, if I were to get divorced, I don't think I'd want anything to do with my diamond ring.
Like, it would just be a reminder?
Mm-hmm.
You're just like...
I wouldn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But wait, also, can we talk about her swim line? Have you seen what's going on with it?
No, what?
Okay, so she has the swim line in a Murata, right?
Yeah.
Dude, they have not posted on Instagram since November 24th, like, right before Black Friday. They had a huge sale for Black Friday and have not fulfilled a single order. So they took everyone's money and have not, like, issued anything. There's just emails and emails and emails being like, you should, like, look at the comment section. It's like, when am I getting my swim? When am I getting my swim? At this point, give me interest on my money that you've been holding.
What?
Yeah, it is kind
of
crazy.
But you know what's so funny? I just ordered a swimsuit from them.
I hope it comes.
I'm not joking. I ordered a swimsuit the other night because it was from the Mirapalais collection. Literally the swimsuit.
Dude, please look at the comments right now.
I ordered it.
It is wild. And for me, it's kind of shocking because I feel like – she is such a feminist. She's like, seems like such a girl's girl. Like, I'm like, what is going on behind the scenes that one, she's not addressing it, two, that they're not giving people their money back, or three, that they're not fulfilling their orders?
Update. It's been 4 months and customer service assured with a formal email it would be delivered March 5th at the latest. Still nothing and no shipping information. Horrific brand. You know what's funny though? Like, I think mine was delivered last night. Like, it's
well,
said,
maybe yours shipped from
Mirapalais.
And also, apparently, he deleted everything from the collab. So, like,
because he's embarrassed about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like, something's going on.
Dude!
I know.
Wait, that's so interesting, because, like, I wish I would, I should have looked at the Instagram before I ordered.
Mean, it's fine. Do you really go look at everyone's Instagram before you place an order? No.
No, but, like, they definitely have been, they've been, yeah, shipment is on the way. Track shipment. I think it was delivered last night.
Where'd you order it? From her website?
Yes, inamoratawoman.com.
Interesting.
Let's see. Wait, is this delivered? I'll keep everybody in, stay tuned. Oh, that's
do you see all these other people's comments though, right? Yeah, people are pissed.
Yeah, that's bad business. Mm-hmm. Do y'all not have the suits? What's going on? We need answers.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also, they're not cheap swimsuits.
No, they're expensive.
They're expensive. So, like, imagine spending, like, a couple hundred dollars, never getting your suit, never getting your money back, and getting no answers.
No, that's actually—
That's infuriating.
That's, like, illegal.
Literally.
This is criminal.
And it's just, like, shocking to me that she's kind of— that she's tied to it. It's her brand, and that it's been silence from her. Wow. And also that the brand hasn't posted since November.
Yeah, that's crazy. What's going on?
What is going on?
She maybe should have used the money from those diamond rings to give people their money back. Damn.
I have a hilarious announcement. It's been making me giggle for the past couple days. So you know how I'm so obsessed with Vanderpump Rules? Mm-hmm. You guys, guess who I booked a campaign with? Bravo.
Finally.
How funny is that? I was like, wow, like, what have they searched on?
Well, they probably can see when you mention Bravo or any of the shows all the
time. They're like, who can we find? What influencers are super fans of Vanderpump Rules and Bravo? And they found me. And I'm working with Bravo to promote their new show, The Valley, which is an extension of Vanderpump Rules. And also, this is not part of the campaign, but I'm really excited about The Valley as well. And it's just so freaking funny to me that I'm finally getting paid for a passion of mine.
Finally. Honestly, you know, you are like the poster child of like hard work and really dedication pays off.
And also when I used to host an after show about Vanderpump for like 3 years, I did not get paid for a single one of those episodes that I ever did. So it's full circle moment.
Finally, Bravo's giving you, running you the check.
Yeah. But anyways, the show is really, really good.
Wow.
It's so funny. It's an extension of Vanderpump Rules, which obviously you don't watch, but three of the former castmates that were on it are now on this. And I think I find it so fascinating because I literally had such a parallel life as them because they all lived in WeHo, were in their young 20s, then they got married and had a kid and moved to the Valley. And that's
literally your life.
Literally my life.
Why did they ask you to be on it? That's rude.
No, I'm actually 100% sure if we stayed in LA, we'd be on it. No, I'm not even kidding. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that we would have been on it at some point.
I agree.
We also have mutuals that are on it. No, that's an exaggeration. There are people that are on it that I have mutuals with. Does that make sense?
Oh, so you don't know them, but you know they're the friends.
Friends, yeah.
Same thing.
Exactly, same thing.
You're friends with them.
I'm friends with them. They actually asked us to be on the cast, and we're like, sorry, we're moving to Jersey.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry. Honestly, everyone on reality TV would like Steve Moore, so we have to say no.
Honestly, that's so true.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm very excited about today's episode because we have on our good friend Lauren Chan. She is honestly supermodel. She models.
She really is.
No, she's a supermodel. Yeah. Like, I would say she's one of the supermodels of our time.
I think so too.
She models for Victoria's Secret. She's a Sports Illustrated rookie. She founded her own luxury plus size clothing brand, Henning, which was just acquired by Universal Standard.
Like, no big freaking deal.
I am so inspired by her. Mm. She does different TV hosting. She really does so many different things. And she is a very prominent voice in the body positive community and like self-love and acceptance and talking about the need for diversity, especially in the modeling world. I could listen to her talk all day. She's just incredible.
She's incredible. And when she became a Sports Illustrated model, she also came out as queer, which I think was just such a major milestone for her and also for the community in general. So without further ado, let's welcome Lauren. If you like saving money, and let's face it, who doesn't, then you have to go get Rakuten. Rakuten shoppers get it all when it comes to shopping. The hottest brands, the best deals, and the most savings. With Rakuten, you get cash back at stores you love like Sephora, Nike, and Bloomingdale's, just to name a few. And you'll never miss out on a promo code or coupon because Rakuten gives you all the best ones. And you can even stack cash back on top of sales, credit card points, and other loyalty programs. And it couldn't be easier. Just join Rakuten for free, then use the website or app to shop your favorite stores and watch your cash back add up. So before you buy another thing, join Rakuten, because Rakuten shoppers always get the most bang for their buck. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com. I think something that fascinates me so much with you is you wear so many hats. And I'm sorry, but you seem to be so freaking good at all of them. I'm like, how can a one woman be so successful at so many things? Like, no, honestly, I'm like, okay, I feel like you're a supermodel. You started your own clothing line, sold it. Like, what? Or a fashion editor, an influencer. So I guess for me, like, one, how do you balance it all? And is there something that takes priority for you?
Well, first of all, it's a trauma response, which is a joke, but also reality. I learned this in therapy over the years because it's not something that I haven't heard before. And it was interesting to me. And I was like, I think it's a trauma response. I think it's like from growing up in a place where like you had to be good at stuff to get love and care. And so it kind of codes your brain in a way where to have acceptance and yeah, ultimately love, which is what we all want, you have to be good at things. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of like a snake eating its tail, or I don't know what the right metaphor. There's something I'm not good at, metaphors.
One thing.
I only really focus on things that feel really good and feel like they could be a success and feel like I can make a difference in. Mm-hmm. And then how do I prioritize? I follow a North Star. So my North Star is that I want to make the world a better place, much like the both of you, mm-hmm. for people who have been excluded from fashion or media and thereby culture based beforehand on size and now on a bunch of other things that I identify with. So that made sense to me as to why I was fashion editing with a size inclusion focus, and then why I started a plus size clothing business, and now why I'm on, you know, platforms using my own self as representation or a way to kind of start a conversation of progress and acceptance.
I guess that makes sense. Like so many different focuses, but actually like one main idea. Okay. So what if someone is like starting their career now and they're like, oh, I want to do like all these different things. I guess, do you have any career advice for them on how to find their passion or their North Star?
I mean, I would so be interested in your two response to this too, but I think that it's not a bad strategy to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad strategy to go try to do everything and get a feel for what's working or where there's upward mobility and where there's not. I'm kind of in that phase right now, actually, and I haven't really been here since probably about 10 years ago when I was starting editing. And at that time, I didn't go to fashion school, so I interned in every department I could because I was trying to learn and see what worked, see where I vibed, see where there was opportunity. And now that I'm on the other side of, like you said, editing and having a business and being in Sports Illustrated and becoming an influencer, I guess, I'm in that phase again where it's kind of this like big deep sea and I don't really know what boat to get on. And it's a scary feeling, especially for a personality like mine, but I'm trying to slow down and suss it out.
I totally feel you. I feel like I'm in that space right now
too.
A lot of people. I feel like a lot of people.
Yeah, it's like, okay, there are all these things that I have going on, all these passions I have, like what freaking direction do I take? And I think you're right. Like I always just tell myself, I'm like, okay, as long as I'm just like following something that like ignites like my passion or there's like a spark there, like I just have faith that it's going to kind of like work out in some way. Like I'm sure when you were working as an editor, how many years ago was that?
I left in 2017.
Like, did
I don't even, I don't know anymore.
Do you picture, like, would you have guessed that you were like going to be a Sports Illustrated model and like on hosting TV?
TV maybe, because it is broadcast journalism, so it is a little bit of those roots. And I actually feel more like my fashion editor self now that I do broadcast than I have in the past five, 6 years. Mm-hmm. But Sports Illustrated, no. Gay? No. You're talking about both of those things in the same sentence often? Definitely no.
You're like, how did we get here? This took a turn that I did not expect.
We get here. And I feel like although we have similar careers, you know, a lot of people listening who maybe don't work in what we do feel that way as well. I feel like COVID really changed a lot of things. Work from home changed a lot of things. People's priorities shifted and like worlds started to blend together. And TikTok has made influencing or micro-influencing a reality for a lot of people who maybe didn't picture themselves in the space.
I feel like we need to rewind to, like, how did we get here? Because those are two big things that you just discussed, like Sports Illustrated and then coming out. Can you kind of, like, walk us through how that even happened?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I guess there's a bigger story there, but I want to know all the details.
Well, I had been kind of, like, having a revelation with my own sexuality privately for about a year. And when I was about three quarters of the way through that process, Sports Illustrated requested a casting tape from me. Mm-hmm. And at this point in my career as a model, I kind of had my casting tape.
You're like, I've got it down.
I was just about to say I've got it down. And I don't. I haven't done it in a while. But I had it down. You know, I would sit down and say, hi, I'm Lauren Chan. I'm a size 14 model. I was a fashion editor with a focus on size inclusion. I started a business. And my whole life's passion is to make the world a better place for women. You know, and it's genuine. Right. But it is a spiel.
Yeah.
And
your little elevator pitch.
My little elevator pitch. You know, everyone's got to have their elevator pitch.
For sure.
But because it was Sports Illustrated swimsuit, and because they have had such impact and success celebrating their talent for who they are, the diversity they bring, the stories they tell, and the change they can make, I sat down and I decided to say that I was gay for the first time.
So the first time you ever said that, like, out loud was on...
To anybody not in my private life, yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
Was on your casting tape. And it felt safe because, again, this was an at-home self-tape. So I was in my living room by myself. I knew that I was speaking to people who would watch it, mm-hmm. but it just felt like the right time to do it. Mm. And it resonated, evidently, and now we're here. But that is how that kind of came together. And it was one of those things where I had been experiencing a lot of them. Where it was just like the universe or whatever you want to say it is was just like, here, this is how you should play this.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was that experience like? Like, did you have any like nerves or like with this Sports Illustrated rookie coming out and your story, like sharing it publicly outside of your, you know, close-knit circle?
Yeah.
What were your feelings around it?
I definitely felt a little bit nervous because I knew given the reach of the brand that I would be taken outside of my echo chamber of like.
That is so interesting, being taken outside of your echo chamber, because I think we kind of all live in a positive echo chamber on the internet. Mm-hmm. And then once your videos or your face gets like promoted to other people, you hear all this noise that you weren't prepared for. Mm-hmm.
You're like, people still say this shit?
Yeah.
Like when a brand like reposts your photo or something, it's
Yeah. So I was nervous about that, and we can certainly talk about some of the response. But Sports Illustrated Swimsuit is amazing and collaborative, and they had me write an essay in my own words, and it's literally called How I Got Divorced, Came Out, and Landed in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit. And so I kind of got to take the experience of the past, at that point, maybe year and a half, and put it into words. You know, I had like little therapy notes and things here and there in piecemeal, but I hadn't sat down and written like 2,000 words on what happened. And so it was really cathartic, and I think it allowed me to give a lot of context. And it was just like a really whole moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, for our listeners who maybe like haven't read that, like what did happen?
What did happen?
Like what what led you to, you know, leave your husband, get divorced, come out?
Okay. There's so much nuance, but I think I've boiled it down to a few things. One being COVID and that we were collectively, we as a people were not doing things the way we had been doing them before. We were alone a lot of the time. We had a lot of mental health issues. And, you know, hopefully we all had time and space to work on that. And so I really dove into therapy during COVID, honestly, as a means to deal with trying to keep a small business alive. It was really taxing. And ended up learning kind of like how to feel my feelings and how to process things. Again, I grew up in a way that wasn't really top of mind. It was more like an achievement-based environment. And so that was number one. Number two was that looking back, I assumed that if I was queer, it would have been obvious to me. Like it would have been obvious around the time that other people around puberty or afterwards in high school start feeling feelings for people. Like I kind of thought, there's a line in that essay that is, I thought that Jennifer Coolidge would descend from the sky and hand me my gay card. Mm-hmm. You know, that didn't happen. And then I took the path of least resistance, which is just to be straight. There's a term called comp het, which is compulsory heterosexuality. Mm-hmm. And you can read about it. And it just kind of explains how yeah, the path of least resistance in this world is to be straight. Similar mm-hmm. to with what we talk about, the path of least resistance is to exist in a small body. And it becomes right. difficult once you do anything out of those parameters. And then I think those two things really came together in a way that just started kind of like wakening my senses. And I started letting myself kind of sit in that. And so I would watch a movie with a queer character and like let myself focus on that. Or I was like on TikTok and the algorithm was like, you're going to be on the women loving women.
The algorithm was like, we know.
Inside your brain, literally.
And instead of being like, ah, I was like, okay, all right, let's see what I learn. And so eventually it came to a head. But I think those two factors were really internally what was happening with me.
Can I ask how old were you when this was happening?
30.
30.
Yeah.
I think that honestly, even just like hearing you share that, I think it's so inspiring for different women because I think the number like 30, and I've been feeling this recently too, like, oh, everyone's like, you've got your stuff figured out. You can just enjoy your 30s. Like, life is good. And it's like, actually, I have been feeling the opposite. I'm kind of like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? And I think it's so inspiring to hear different women share, like, how they've completely pivoted their life in their 30s because it's not too late, like we've been told for so long. Like, you can completely change your life and go in a different direction at any age, but especially after 30.
Yeah, I think that the recent sign of progress in fashion and media where we're representing older women is so important, not obviously just because of the beauty standard and what it physically means to be an older woman, but because of that.
Yeah.
I have found that the influencers that I follow who are 50 and above have given me some of the best wisdom and perspective that I really, gosh, I don't really know how else I would have had a chance to hear that. Mm-hmm. It sounds a little silly to be like giving that much weight to a 50-second reel. But in my life, like, I don't really have the opportunity to sit down with women of that age and talk deeply about what they've learned and how it might help me.
Yeah.
And so that representation increasing and, you know, ipso facto, the algorithm, like, serving me more of that is been really pivotal. And they all, like, to your point, they always are saying, like, oh my God, you're 35, you're so young. Yeah. Slow down.
Yeah.
You're okay.
No, I'm having like an epiphany right now because on here we always like
we
talk
love,
about
we love live epiphanies.
No, I'm having a live epiphany and I need to share. Because we have always like said, and I'm sure you've said this too, like when you're trying to figure out how to like accept your body and love your body more, like honestly, your social media feed is a huge thing because there's no doubt about it, unless you have so much self-control. We spend a lot of time on social media and seeing like other women who look like you had a huge impact on my confidence. And I honestly recently have been feeling like, and I feel so stupid saying this, you guys, but like old lately, like I'm like, oh my God. And I am following all of these like Gen Z,
like
22 year old. And we've kind of talked about this.
We've talked about that before.
Am I comparing myself to a 22 year old TikToker? Like, Ran, get a grip. But now I'm like, I need to be following women who are older. Like,
there
this
are
is like,
incredible, incredible influencers out there.
I'm like, I feel like maybe this is like, I'm behind, but I'm like, okay, wow. I need to like,
it's coming.
Freshen up my feed in a new way.
It's coming.
Wait, are there any people that you love following that you could recommend real quick?
Oh my gosh. Let me put that in the show notes.
Okay, we'll put it in the show notes.
I don't want to say them wrong.
Yeah,
we'll put them in the show notes. Someone named Heidi.
I love Grace.
A professor in Asia who just walked the Miu Miu show. There are really exciting, exciting people.
Incredible.
Yeah, they're really, and they're so sweet, and they're so beautiful, and they're so stylish, and it's just, it's all the things.
Okay, so when this article came out and you shared, which you're such a good writer. I like could hear, like read and hear anything you have to say. You're incredible. What was the response like?
The response was great. Again, from my community, the response was like very rallying, I think is a good word, and loving and celebratory. And it was within the Sports Illustrated swimsuit platform as well. Where I started to see the negativity was when that content got syndicated into sites like Yahoo and those comment sections, which I probably wouldn't revisit again anytime soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you scroll the comment sections?
Nasty. Typically, no. I don't know what led me to the day that I really had this experience. And then once I kind of started seeing the things that people were saying, which were like everything from racist to transphobic to like giant animal jokes, what have you, then I went on other articles about different Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Talent with different body types and appearances mm-hmm. to see what was being said there. And what really struck me was that there was no right way to be a woman. Mm. If you were me, you were, you know, sleeping over at the Chinese buffet. If you were somebody who was a size 2, you weren't curvy enough. Mm. Or you were whatever they want to insult. I mean, yeah. I don't get those insults, but whatever they want to insult women who are closer to their own beauty ideal with. And so it really was good perspective for me, mm-hmm. honestly. And it taught me that I can't pay people like that any mind because they don't know as much as I know about the beauty ideal. They don't mm-hmm. know as much as I know about being a woman or living in a marginalized body mm-hmm. or being in community with people like us. And so I think I made like a quip on another podcast where I was like, it's like listening to like conversation about the stock market from someone who doesn't know what the S&P is. Right. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Mm-hmm. Why would you do yeah. it? But it was definitely a learning curve, and I won't say it didn't hurt.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you're like me, you're ready for warmer, sunnier days, but is your skin? Your skin goes through such a big transition between seasons, and not just on the surface, but at the cellular level. That's why it's important to nurture it from the inside out with products that do more than just protect against the sun's UV rays. OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. This peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells, the cells that make your skin look less resilient and more prone to lines and wrinkles. And instead of masking these issues, OneSkin addresses them at the cellular level, boosting your skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and help protect against the elements. They have a full line of face and body products, including OS1 Shield, an SPF that prevents UV-induced aging and repairs cellular aging all at once. For a limited time, our listeners get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code TCC when you check out at oneskin.co. That's code TCC for 15% off OneSkin products at oneskin.co. No matter the season, keep your skin looking and feeling healthy with OneSkin. I think it's so interesting to see those comments sometimes because I've gotten to a point where, like, I can see something, like, really terrible written about me, especially if it's, like, my body.
Yeah.
And be, like, almost laugh about it.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, you have to get to a point where you're, like, realizing that, like, that person's opinion just does not yeah. matter.
Yeah.
Does not matter. And you're right. Like, sometimes, like, every single person's being mm-hmm. judged in their own way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are some comments that, like, sure, give them a writing credit. Like, some of the jokes are funny. I'm not going to lie. I can take it.
Yeah.
You know, some of them are they're punny.
Right.
And then some of them are really vile. Mm-hmm. And I think the worst one that I read was something along the lines of, female beauty is for male consumption, and we don't want this.
That's actually scary.
But also, it makes me sick. It's also like exactly the opposite of what you're kind of saying too.
Yes. When I say that, it generally like makes most people feel a little bellyache. Like mm-hmm. there's something that churns because of the vileness of that sentiment.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to, like, how men think they have ownership over women. Mm-hmm. Like, our existence is for their viewing mm-hmm. and their pleasure.
But don't you guys yeah. find it in some small way, like, humorous that, like, most women are literally dressing for themselves and other women? Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, I feel like that's coming like, now.
It's yeah, I think it's coming
I
now,
don't,
and it's something we always have to, like, work on.
Because, yeah,
like,
for sure.
I've had to, like, work so hard, especially as I'm dating, like, with the amount of weight I would put in male attention. And that's mm-hmm. why I started therapy earlier this year was, like, I was, like, and I, like, stopped dating because I was, like, so much of my happiness and how I feel about myself is relying on what male attention I'm getting. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, I was just, like, I have to, like, figure this out mm-hmm. and, like, take a break. And it was, yeah, that's why I started therapy. And it's been so, so helpful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's, like, we're trying to, like, work through this stuff that we have ingrained in us
yeah.
so deeply.
The best thing I ever did for my body confidence was come out. Because along mm-hmm. the way, I ditched the male gaze.
That's so interesting.
And now that I don't perform for men, and I don't try to show up physically as what I've been taught by culture men want women to look like, mm-hmm. i.e. the beauty ideal,
mm-hmm.
I feel free. You know, I'm yeah. a woman, and I've realized, hey, I don't think that women need to be thin, curvy, white, blonde, and oozing sex appeal to be attractive. Mm-hmm. And when I flip that logic on myself, I feel so, so relieved. And you don't have to be gay to access that sense of freedom. Mm-hmm. Look at what you just spoke about. Look at what Julia Fox is doing. Mm-hmm. She just was in Fashion Magazine in Canada, and I love one of her quotes. It's that after she had her son, she no longer felt the need for men, and she now dresses for the girls and the gays. Mm-hmm. And I think her sense of confidence, specifically body confidence and power, honestly, is palpable mm-hmm. through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I never would have worn this outfit before because I can see my back roll from my bra in the back of the shirt. Mm-hmm. And I would be getting dressed and thinking, a man is going to look at this and think, ew, back yeah. roll. But a girl is going to look at this and say, is that vintage Prada?
Right.
Wait, and that feels so much better.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
so much more comfortable. And I have a lot more fun getting dressed, and I'm a lot more confident in my body and sense of self because I don't feel the pressure of performing for the male gaze. Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, when I used to get dressed to, like, go out when I was, like, in my going out days, like, I would literally think about, like, okay, what can I put on my body that is going to make men, like, want to approach me? Like,
yeah.
I
used to think that way. Well, the concept of flattering.
So what would that be?
Yeah, what would it? What was it?
I mean, something that obviously, like, showed off your boobs. Yeah. Like, cleavage was always, like, a yes. Or, like, mm-hmm. a mini skirt and, like, knee-high boots, which I still love doing that. But, like, I was just thinking of, like, okay. And also, it was always how to look my skinniest.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, now, flattering.
Flattering. Like, and now I'm like, I wear the baggiest jeans like I can find. Like, same. I want the biggest, baggiest clothes and jeans. But before, it was like, whatever is going to make my body look like the slimmest and most attractive to a man, that is what I would want to put on.
Clothes don't exist, in essence, to make us look as thin and flattered as possible. They are supposed to be for self-expression and adventure and art. And we've gotten so far away from that because we live in a capitalist patriarchy that teaches women, mm-hmm. no, the way you should be getting dressed, period, full stop, is to look as attractive as possible, i.e. as thin as possible mm-hmm. or whatever, as curvy as possible for men. Mm-hmm. And it's just not true. And we have to do a little bit of work on ourselves. Like you said, you went to therapy. Mm-hmm. I had to come out and learn this. I don't know how Julia Fox did it, but kudos to her. Let's all study that.
She had a baby.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now with like the rise of Ozempic and everything, as someone who's been such an advocate for size inclusivity, mm-hmm. what do you think about it? Like, do you feel like it's kind of like taking us a couple steps backwards?
Yes and no. So I have been hearing a lot of this conversation. I've been asked this so many times in interviews. And I understand that we're losing some figureheads in Hollywood mm-hmm. to the beauty ideal. But I otherwise kind of hesitate. And, like, I actually want to ask you, like, to see where else we're losing our footing. Because Fashion Month, the Vogue Business Report said we were down in plus-size representation or above straight-size representation by 0.1% versus last season. We have more body diversity among the people that are allowed to take up space in terms of a mid-size or plus-size model slot than we did before. It's not just a few white supermodels, right? It's mm-hmm. new faces. It's a range of people of color. It's a range of ability and gender mm-hmm. as well. And that is actually more genuine progress to mm-hmm. me. But I saw an Instagram post the other day where someone had said, I'm ready for plus-size women to be on the rise again. And I guess maybe I'm missing where we're falling. And that could be because I protect myself from that because mm-hmm. it was so hard for me to genuinely, like, love and accept myself while using the internet that I put up all of these parameters within my algorithms and who I follow and what I see and what I allow myself to look at and the behaviors I have when I do see something that doesn't make me feel good.
Mm. I think it's interesting because I feel like the way we talk about, like, thinness has kind of shifted a little bit. Mm. And, like, when people are openly saying, like, their life is so much better skinny, that's...
See, I'm not seeing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I have such conflicted feelings. Not conflicted, but, like, it's so complicated, right? Yeah. Because, like you said, there's no right way to be a woman. There's, like, no right way to, like, lose weight or be in your body either. Yeah. Like, women are shamed for when they're in a bigger body. Yeah. And then when they use these drugs to become slimmer, they're shamed for that as well. But it's, like, how do we accept, like... It's just coming at a strange time where it's like, I feel like it's further perpetuating the thin beauty standard when you have people who are with a lot of influence and especially in Hollywood and in the media saying that their life is so much better, like skinnier mm-hmm. and people who are already And there's no way to know someone's health by looking at them, right? Like, I don't know if they're metabolically healthy, but in a small body becoming smaller, like, how is this not perpetuating that, like, thin is the ideal even more? And I don't know.
So when we look back on size inclusion 10 years from now, I don't think it'll be a linear process. I think it'll go up over time, like the stock market, but there will be highs and lows along the way. And I think, sure, we're in a dip right now because of the popularity of these drugs, but the fact that we are talking about it as a culture, as a community, and saying, like, what did she just say? Is progress, because we're here. 10 years ago, no one had a platform or the bravery or what have you to say, like, that's not right. Like, we're losing footing. Like, we have to keep it up. And so to me, that actually shows that we are better off than we were a few years ago.
Yeah.
I just did an interview about this, and the reporter said to me that there was a housewife who said exactly what you're saying, actually. And so that was the first I had heard of it. And I think that we should all be smart enough to delineate the people that we want to hear opinions from and the people we don't. Because to say that you're smaller now and body positivity is a lie is incredibly erroneous and irresponsible. You know, body positivity was born by fat people, by women of color, to create a movement by way that they could find community and make it easier to exist in a world in a big body where the world didn't want them to exist like that. You know, she's those statements almost prove their own point. Like, of course it's easier to exist in the world in a smaller body. That doesn't mean that the movement for fat acceptance was a lie. It actually shows why the movement for fat acceptance is necessary. So I think we just need to be a little bit careful about who we're listening to and who we're giving weight to.
I will say, like, for me, it's not even, like, listening to influencers, people in the media, celebrities. What I find so interesting is now that I have moved to the suburbs and have left a big city and have kind of left this, like, inclusive circle that I was in, it is shocking to me how many people that are not in the media, that are, like, are just, like, regular moms or, I don't know, regular people care so much about their weight, because I think I have been in this bubble where it's, like, so inclusive, where, like, if you go to any of the boutiques around me, I'm not even kidding you, they don't even have above a size 29 jean. They don't even, like, go up to, like, a 32. Like, it is wild. So, and in the conversations I am having with people who are not in the media at all, it's, like, really echoing this. Like, if you go around our towns, like, there are signs for, like, these drugs everywhere.
We saw, Haley and I saw one on the Upper East Side the other
day. They're everywhere. That, to me, feels like almost, like, a reflection of the real world that, like, I've taken myself out of so many years, like, living in a big city and being in the media in a certain way.
Well, I think that's such a good point about the environment that you're in, right? Because, yes, that feels more real than maybe our bubble of influencers and body positive fashion people here in New York City, but it feels a lot less real than the majority of the country, which 100%. Is 70% as of truly 9 years ago. Plus size.
100%.
Where there were 100 million women who wore above a size 14, where the average size was 16, 18, and how that plays into socioeconomic status and the accessibility to drugs like that.
Yeah.
So the weight gap, I think, is getting bigger. We're losing figureheads at the top, or these, you know, elite environments are maybe pretty steeped in weight loss culture right now, but we, to your point, have to remember that that's not the whole country, right? Most of the country doesn't have access to that and is plus size. And so we need to show up for the people that we were always showing up for.
100%. Yeah. That's such a good
point. To give them conversations and clothes and spaces. Because if we don't continue to do it, then the people controlling the top are going to take it away.
That's such an interesting point. And interesting to hear, like, that perspective of now being in the suburbs of how it feels different.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
I know, it's really interesting.
But you're right. It is reflective of, like, where I live. It is not reflective of the United States or the world.
I just think, too, like, if somebody's listening and feels that they're in an environment like that and they don't want to be, or they're listening to headlines or Real Housewives say stuff that hurts them, you know, we live in such a digital age, we have more control than ever over our environment. So it's important to create a safe space online. And if working on body positivity or neutrality is something that you care about, you know, focus intently when you create your TikTok feed or your Instagram feed.
You mentioned something that, like, you set up some parameters. Are there mm-hmm. certain things that you, like, search to make sure you're on the right algorithm or, like, I don't know, like hashtags or comments that you block or anything like that?
Yeah, I have
that.
Like banned words. Mm-hmm. I only follow people who make me feel good, even if it might be somebody who doesn't make me feel great to see their content that I might know in real life and it might be awkward. If I absolutely can't unfollow for vibes, then I mute.
Yeah.
The mute button is a great thing.
Yeah. And then on TikTok, where it's less about who you follow mm-hmm. and more about the algorithm, I try to remember that. And if I see something come up on my feed that isn't going to be good for my body image, I try to disengage and scroll as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And then when I see things that do feed my sense of self, I try to
like, comment, save.
Like, comment, save, send.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
These things are built to respond to mm-hmm. how we behave with them.
I feel like you're such a, at least to me, you come off as such a self-assured, confident person. Is there an experience you've had recently that has tested your confidence? And if so, how did you handle it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that being in new environments can always be trying confidence-wise. Mm-hmm. And that can mean like working on TV and being a newcomer and maybe has nothing to do with my body or how I look. And I try to give myself grace and understand that it's never a good thing to be the smartest person in the room, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that even the way we set it up at the beginning of this conversation is like, oh, I'm back in that phase I was in 10 years mm-hmm. ago. That as a sentiment can be really scary and disorienting and panic inducing. Mm-hmm. But I've tried to kind of, through therapy and meditation, and patience with myself, like let that be exciting. And then when it comes to body confidence, I think that being in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit was a little bit difficult in that I had never felt like sexy or fully body confident. You know, I had been working in inclusive fashion for years and I had made product and magazine content, but I was somebody who very much wore like oversized suits everywhere mm-hmm. and like not too small string bikinis in print.
Yeah.
And so it was, yeah, I really had to do a little bit of extra therapy to know that like I deserve to be there and they chose me for a reason. And ultimately I am so much more than what I look like. Mm-hmm. I got booked on that because of what I have mm-hmm. to say and hopefully what I can inspire in people because, you know, MJ Day, the editor-in-chief, had said something to me to the effect of like, there are so many gorgeous women in this world. There's so many women that we could put in this issue. And like, you're here because you're you.
That gives me chills.
Because mm-hmm. I mean, she's incredible.
The modeling industry can be so hard because it is like you are what you look like, right? Mm-hmm. And I love that you got to really share your story and be you because that's like going to be the most impactful thing. Like, yes, okay. Obviously seeing like someone who looks like you is powerful. And like, I'm like, I saw those images and I was like, oh my God, Lauren looks incredible. And mm-hmm. it like inspires me to wear a string bikini. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah. But like hearing your story and that's what's going to have, like, the biggest impact.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it resonates. Yumi did that for me. Ashley Graham did that for me. Mm-hmm. Markita Prang did that for me in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit. So, yeah, hopefully that's the takeaway. And that's, mm-hmm. of course, the point of putting yourself out there and doing it.
Right.
You don't have to say yes.
And I think it's such a good reminder when you're, like, when your confidence was tested and when you're in, like, new environments. I feel like as we get older, too, we're so scared to try new things because we don't want to be bad at things. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to remind myself, like, okay, I want to do things where I'm bad at things and where I am uncomfortable because like otherwise you're just stuck in your comfort zone and like you're not trying new things, but it's so scary and it is such a huge test of your confidence. And I'm like, okay, what can I do that I'm gonna be like really bad at? Because I want to keep learning and doing new things. And I feel like it's so easy to get stuck in like what you're just comfortable with.
Well, I feel like in that case, like what we said earlier about throwing spaghetti at the wall and trying a lot of things can actually help because if you try 10 things, you're bound to be good or at least really enjoy because like good isn't the only KPI here.
Yeah.
One or two of them.
Yeah.
What are you doing that you feel not so confident in, but is like fun? Are we going to go to pottery class? Like, what are you talking about?
Oh my God.
I feel like this is like my strength is like, I am so good at not caring about being bad at things.
Oh, I love try anything.
I'm like, I literally have no ego about it. I'm like, I don't care if I'm running and I'm literally the slowest person there. Like,
no,
it does
see,
not
I can't
bother
do that.
Me.
I can't. I envy you.
I'm no, like, I'm doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, I know I envy you because I think I'm like you, Lauren. Like, I if I'm like not good at something, like I feel my, like I'm like, or if I'm like, think I'm doing something wrong, I'm like, yeah. I'm like go into like panic. Like it's yeah. so triggering for me because I always have to be this, like, I have to say the right thing and like be.
Yeah. I'm traditionally very like that. And I'm, yes. I'm trying okay, to work well, on it.
Then
yeah.
if I'm going to be honest though, I get super bad anxiety because I've been this entire time. I'm like, I have such bad anxiety over an email I sent that I'm like, get it out of my head. So it's like maybe more physical stuff. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm trying. I'm doing more writing.
That's exciting.
I know. So I want to join like a writing group or something. But then like the thought of like reading or someone else reading my stuff, I'm like, I'm going to be
sick. That's so the L word of you.
I'm going to be sick. Like, oh my God. So anyway.
Wait, can I tell you guys a story really quickly?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Speaking of like trying things, I took an acting class. That is one thing.
When?
Oh, in college.
I thought you meant recently. I was like, no. What?
I think I was pretty good at improv, like, afterwards, acting. I am only fucking good at being myself. Like, I cannot be anyone else. So I did. We, like, had this, like, script that me and my partner were doing. And, like, he was a robber and I was a cop. Okay, like, just baseline. I'm not even kidding you. I got so into it that I actually slammed his head into the wall. Like, instead of acting, like, I was not in control of my body. Like, this poor guy, Steve Avon's nose. Our teacher was like, what's going on? Oh my God, like I just couldn't control my body. Like I was just in it so much that like I actually hit his head against the wall. And it was the most mortifying thing I've ever dealt with that I'm still holding it to this day. I guess
you're like, I had to get it out.
I had to get it out. Like I was so bad. That was the last acting class I took.
Okay, wow. But we're good at improv. But
we're good at improv.
We're good at improv.
Oh, my God. Okay, so many things. What do you feel like is next for you? What are some things that you're excited that you're working on?
What's next? I'm trying to go with the flow. Mm-hmm. As we said, I'm doing more TV, more broadcasts, which as I know you do too, yeah. which is exciting. And I feel it. Like to your point, we get to be ourselves and that's really, feels really good right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Henning was acquired by Universal Standard. So in the wake of that, I'm a little burnt out by mm-hmm. being a small business owner. So I'm trying to just, someone said this to me in Canada recently, follow the puck. Mm. Yeah, mm. I'm just trying to follow the puck good. A little bit.
Which, by the way, the Henning Universal Standard trench that I have is my most worn trench. I'm obsessed
good.
With it.
I'm
I think
glad.
It's so good. Okay, last question.
Yeah.
What does success look like to you?
There are so many ways to answer this question.
Yeah. I feel answer
like,
them all.
Yeah. Success looks like being like aligned mm-hmm. and what you want to be doing, what you get paid to do, and the effect you leave on people. Success looks like retiring upstate with a dog rescue.
That's
oh my God.
Lovely.
You know, I know.
A
it's
dream.
Like, I have to not get too like wrapped up in being like, you know, when am I going to have this and when can I do that and mm. when can I stop doing this and like, should I have, you know, anyways, should I be having more in savings by now? What's it going to look like? When can I stop working? So
yeah,
trying to go with the flow. Yeah.
Being an adult is just like really
being
draining.
An adult is so
just like the most draining thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And it's really, really
yeah.
a struggle.
I know. It's about to be tax season. Don't even get me started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's end this conversation right now, please.
Oh my God. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We loved having you.
Love you. Stay all day.
Also, I can't believe this is only our second time we've actually met in person. Right?
I know. Well, now that you're here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
well,
we got to do
you
something.
So much.
Make a repeat.